We just stood for the entire passion narrative of St. John's Gospel being chanted. An act which is an act of devotion, but it challenges our attention span, not only mentally, but even emotionally. Who can absorb all this? It's painful to read when it comes up on our lectionary, and now we enter into this liturgically, and it can only leave a deep impression. What we have heard and received today is nothing less than the fulfillment of the Old Testament motif of the Lamb. Now we know that the Lamb motif would be familiar to all Jews, as this was the Lamb of the Passover, which will be celebrated by Jews this coming, in the coming days. But it has been celebrated from time immemorial to remember when a lamb was slain on behalf of the firstborn and to deliver a people. So now let's look at the Lamb in the full light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah says of this Lamb, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet opened he not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so opened he not his mouth." Now let's stop for a moment before the revelation that we've received and imagine the emotional effect of slaying a lamb for a people. The lamb, of course, is innocent, has done nothing to deserve this. And herein is the power. We have done wrong. I have done wrong. I have complained. I have rebelled against God. But he's given me a lamb in place of my sins. Now, when I am harsh with my dog, when I do to my dog what that dog did not deserve, the pain of remorse comes faster, I think, than when I do a wrong to an individual. Because this dog has no volition. This dog only takes input, only does what I've trained it to do. When it doesn't obey, that's my fault. So when I lose my patience upon a dog, I immediately repent. It's like when we hurt a child. When we see a child hurt, there's no wrong greater than that because that child is innocent. That child has done nothing to offend the world, let alone you. How can you harm a child? And so we have all this infused in this metaphor of the lamb. And so here we have the motif from the Old Testament laid out for us through Isaiah, which we know as the suffering servant. Now here, this passage, having been received, would not have given a clear path to what we have just heard, the fulfillment and the Lamb of God, the Messiah. So how might this passage be understood in context? And how might that help us to understand the fulfillment that we receive right now? Here we have what the Jews originally reading this would have understood to be the role of a prophet. Because prophets of old received punishment on behalf of the people. Just think of Moses, who had to bear not only the complaints of the people, but even the punishment of God's people, when he himself was innocent. Jeremiah, as well as a prophet, went to the dungeon for his work. Or think of Hosea. Hosea, who was called to marry Gomer, a wife who God said would betray him. But do this as a sign for the people. So prophet, over and over, bear the punishment of the people. So this, here we see a fulfillment of this. We see a prophet who has stepped into this great line. But what is the response of prophets as we look throughout Scripture? Well, let's consider Moses and what he said. He said, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me?" Then hear the words of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah himself has even stronger words, where Jeremiah says, "But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter." And he said, here is one example of following through this motif. He says, "I did not know it was against me they devised schemes, saying, 'Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more.'" But then, what is the response of Jeremiah to all this? It echoes what we heard from Isaiah. But he says, "Let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause." Yes, the prophets of old, being mere men, complained. And even Jeremiah asks for vengeance on the people. But this one is different. What did we hear in Isaiah? That like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Here, the innocent lamb does not complain. He goes to his suffering willingly. This is a prophet like no other. What is the effect this has on the reader? What is the only response? Like when I lose my patience with my dog, how can I do this? Like a lamb that is completely innocent, we repent. How can I do this to such a one? How can this one bear my sins? For it says in verse 5, "Upon him was the chastisement. He was crushed for our iniquities." And ultimately, the effect of this is healing. For it's in this context we read, "With his stripes we are healed." How is this healing to us? The shame, the guilt, the repentance? Because repentance is good for us. This is good for our souls. This is what draws us closer to God, our Maker, our Redeemer. Repentance is healing. It is reorienting. And here we are moved to repent like nowhere else. Now understand we that this is fulfilled in Jesus, who was able to fulfill this role like no other prophet. In the words of Isaiah, this looks forward to one who would come, who would finally be able to call us to full repentance. And this is the one that we have seen. This is the one whose story was recounted for us today. But what's more, he does your repentance for you. For you and I could not repent enough. We have not repented enough today. Even seeing the innocent lamb fully aware of what he was entering into, doing so voluntarily. If healing is that repentance is for us, we don't go far enough. It does not bring us all the way to God. But it says, he was crushed for our iniquities. He endures your penance and mine, and his penance is perfect. And this is healing for us because he's not a mere victim. He goes through this voluntarily, choosing this path on your behalf and mine. And so instead of resentment for what we have done to him, what does he project upon you? Nothing but love. There's no more guilt. He does not ask any more guilt of you. No, he takes it away. By his stripes, we are healed. And the only proper response to this, ultimately, is praise. Praise. As the ancient tradition, the fathers have told us that this is a season of bright sadness. Sadness, yes, repentance, but leads us to praise, leads us to the brightness of the goodness of God. Father Khaled Anatolios, a professor of Notre Dame, coined a term for this. He's the one that gave me the framework I've shared with you today. And he coined this term, doxological contrition. This is not a novelty. He says this is simply a way to explain what all the fathers have held, what our whole, the tradition of our faith has said, what has been done for us today. Our Lord leads us to contrition, which leads us to praise, a praise that leads us to further contrition as we see the one who has done our penance for us and has praised God perfectly. We enter more deeply into him. And that ultimately heals us. It makes us whole. For in verse 5 of Isaiah, it says, upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. Another translation says, that brought us peace. Holiness comes from the English word whole. This is the path to holiness. As we see the Lamb who was slain for our iniquities, who opened not his mouth, who entered into this willingly and gave us love in return. Let us grow whole as we see the Lamb in the full light of our Lord.